So this gives me pleasure, and it gives me pleasure for all the reasons that you know and love. When you come in and log in and check out our podcast, because Patsy loves her food, and we're really, really fortunate this week, because this is Jonathan Swain, and Jonathan Swain has the, would you call it a blog? What would you call it? You're a food writer, aren't you?
Yeah, blog will do. It's as good as anything
else. And it, which is The Plate Licked Clean. And so I've seen Jonathan's wonderful critiques of places, and we've got to get him on. So, but the thing is, Jonathan comes from a very long way away, because I thought he was local, because he does the wonderful reviews of us. And it's not, so he's going to tell us that story. But thank you so much for coming.
That's absolutely
on awesome. Our Town Has yes. Plenty as well, a yes. guest, Jonathan. We're so, so
lovely to meet you.
It's so pleased to have you on. That's too hot for me. There's not a sweet spot yet with my tea, but that would be
Oh, that sweet spot is absolutely...
It's crucial, isn't it?
A nanosecond too late, it's ruined.
Yeah. It's ruined.
You're just drinking it to be polite.
Yeah.
And you can't taste anything.
Oh.
Yeah. And of course, if you go in a bit too early...
To the point yesterday where I said to my girlfriend, oh, I've missed the sweet spot. And she said, well, I did time it this time, and it's 29 minutes ago I put that down next to myself. So obviously my complaints are now going to be monitored.
They are.
And then dismissed with prejudice.
The little tinkly noise that says, there's a sweet spot, there it is.
Someone needs to develop that, a little clip-on thermometer. And of course, it would have to sync with your phone. You'd have to get an alert
on
your phone.
Yeah, then you could monitor your tea.
But they do it for eggs, don't they? They do those things that you pop in with your eggs, which we use, which aren't always that reliable.
You can do it with your Sunday roast now. They've got those kind of live probes, haven't they? Meter. I've got not an ad. which I bought last year of my own money. And it'll actually tell you, what the internal temp is and when it reaches that absolute sweet spot.
We've started well, haven't we? Yeah. This is going to be a long one. This is going to be a long one.
We're talking about food.
And
what else is there?
There is. Oh, it's such a pleasure. Such a pleasure. So what a beautiful accent, though. So you hail from...
Well, if you go back far enough, kind of a mixture of northern Spain and the Welsh Valleys. More immediately, I was born in South Wales, and then I've lived all over the UK. And then a couple of years ago, I fell for a Hastings girl. We met through food, actually. Not literally through food, there's a closed Facebook group called the Porky Punk, so there's a shout out for them, which has got everyone from keen home cooks through to people off the telly. And I think we just formed an impression of each other through words on screen, and liked the cut of each other's jib. And I was single but not looking. She was single but not looking, but I didn't know she was single, so I was constantly looking for clues as to whether she was or wasn't. She knows all this isn't
yeah.
And we just started talking and talking and talking. And we would talk for like a couple of hours before we'd even met, just hours. There's just... And so we decided to meet, and that went very well. And within a couple of hours of meeting, we ended up in the Stag, which is kind of, I think, the oldest pub in town, or one of them.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of mummified cats on display.
I
thought, this town's different then.
Yeah.
It's my nature to look for interesting places to eat. What I couldn't believe was that there was so little coverage of them.
Yes.
I just found that astounding, because there are restaurants here that are special. They're genuinely interesting places to eat with genuinely interesting stories behind them. I find that really inspiring. So South Wales, my mum came over in 67. Not speaking a word of English, and settled here. And it went on from there, really. So that that side of the family matters to me.
Yeah.
That part of me matters to me, you know, because so much of it is tied up with food.
Mm.
You know, the smell of hot olive oil is such a trigger for me.
Sure.
You know, I smell hot olive oil and I'm standing in the in the doorway of my grandmother's kitchen in northern Spain, and she's got a bright red house coat on, which was the only splash of colour she only wore, because when my grandfather died, she did the very traditional widow's weeds thing.
Yeah,
so you're supposed to wear black for, I think it's a year and a day, might be a year, but she never changed it.
Mm.
She always, and she was always immaculate, absolutely immaculate, because the family is quite well to do through various businesses, which we'll get onto, I'm sure. So she was always in black lace, and her eyebrows were always tweezed to kind of a fraction of a millimetre, but perfection, and her nails were always long and sharp and blood red.
Mm.
She was always dripping in gold, you know.
Oh my God, but, what a character.
Yeah. She was formidable. I mean, yeah. she wasn't the kind of the cuddly grandma my Welsh grandmother was. I think she'd had quite a hard life because for various reasons, because she had married as a Protestant, she'd married into a Catholic family, which were ethnically Jewish, but had assimilated, because being Jewish in Spain hasn't always been a great thing over the years.
Sure.
They'd assimilated, but my grandfather's side of the family, who were kind of staunch Catholics, were very much towards the Franco side, didn't really take to him being involved with a Protestant.
Wow.
And she always believed that they were there the night that the family church burned down. She actually went to her grave suspecting that they lit that match. She salvaged the family Bible from the ashes, and she hid it for years. But so there's all of that. But my grandfather.
So her red nails and her gold jewellery and everything sounds like an act of defiance.
Yeah, I think it was. I think life was hard because they had 8 children, 7 of whom survived. So they had 8 children. And my memories of my grandfather are of a very, very genial, very loving, very affectionate guy. You wouldn't see him all day because his job, because he had 7 or 8 bars and restaurants in the city.
Yeah.
His job was to go around and check on them. And of course, checking on the men, you know, have a glass of tea.
Let's have a game
of dominoes. And my image of him, I have 2 very, very strong images of him. One is kind of seeing him in the street, because we'd be out and about and we'd see him. Oh, look, you know, there's a willow. And he'd be there at a little table, and he'd always have this black beret on, these tinted glasses. He wasn't a big man. Mm. He's quite a small man physically, but kind of very brown, walnut brown skin.
Mm.
And he'd have his cigarettes with his lighter, and he'd have his dominoes, and he'd have his beret and his glasses on, and he'd have his glass of normally a red wine. And that would be his job. He would be checking in on the businesses.
Mm.
But then my other image would
be quality control.
Absolutely, very important. You know, you've got to keep these things high.
Yeah.
But then my other image of him is the one that my mother has also of him a lot, and the one that really I think explains the fact that my grandmother was quite a formidable woman is that she did everything herself. She had to corral and marshal all these kids.
Sure.
You know, 5 boys.
Ooh.
And, you know, who all brought up with, you know, I think there's quite a lot of money around. Because I remember my mum saying that it wasn't until she came to live in this country that she actually had to find out what size she was.
Right.
Because their clothes were always made for them.
Mm.
So, and everyone knew who they were. Oh, that's Felice's daughter, you know, kind of you know, look after her.
Sure.
And so he would come in late at night, and he, you know, obviously he'd be kind of slightly, he'd be half caked, you know, you know, and he'd have this kind of genial thug of cigarette smoke and red wine around him, and he'd want to give you a kiss, and he'd be very affectionate, but he'd have, you know, the rasp of the, you know, the cheek, the cheek. And he was, I mean, I think he was probably, a great dad in that respect, but, you know, perhaps not the most amazingly hands-on husband
no.
in the home.
Sure.
But then, you know, we're going back a long time and we're going back to a society with very,
time.
Very... very, very kind of, you know, different cultural norms and all the rest of it.
So I'm hearing, I'm hearing your family are steeped in food.
I think, do you know what, I would be hard-pressed to tell you a member of my Spanish family that isn't involved in food in some way, whether they're owning restaurants or whether they're chefs or whether they're quite notable wine growers, even the ones who've got another job have normally have got a finger in some pie. I don't have many regrets in life. I probably should, because some of the stuff I've done. But the one regret I do sometimes have is that my uncle, who had a very, very successful job supplying paint to high-end car manufacturers, he had what I believe the youngsters these days called a side hustle. And he had hit upon the idea of taking the classic central, the classic roasts of central Spain, so suckling pig and lamb, and then transplanting them hundreds of miles to the coast where Spaniards would go for their holidays, but where that kind of food wasn't normally found.
No.
So he
what
said,
service.
Well, and it was really good. So, and he said to me, I want you to run it for me. I went, okay. He said, right, here's the sales pitch, okay? You'll have to, it'll be the hardest job you've ever had in your life. You'll have to be up by five to build the oven, because it's all wood fired. To prep the animal, you know, to prepare the animals, to get them roasting, to ready to serve. He said you'll work about 19-hour days, and he said, and the heat will be because it's on the coast, the Spanish coast, you know, and you work in the wood-fired oven. The heat will be, you know, you wish it'd be like the fires of hell. He said, but you only have to work 3 months, and he said you make so much money in those 3 months that you could take 9 months off.
Yeah.
And honestly, if my life circumstances had been different at the time, I would have gone for it. I couldn't, because I'd just got married, and again, and she had just started a kind of quite a high profile promotion. So it couldn't happen.
That's your only regret?
That is basically my only regret, yeah, but I should have more, like I say, because
You couldn't do it now. You couldn't.
I physically, that's a job for a young man.
Yeah,
that is a job for a 20-something who doesn't know any better.
People underestimate that, don't they? I know that if I have to make my roast vegetable, my famous roast vegetable soup that I make in quantity, by the time I've made that batch and chopped everything and then roasted everything, then took it back and blitzed it, and then make sure it's absolutely perfect, I'm exhausted. I'm really tired.
I spend a lot of time in kitchens now, you know, kind of whether it's, you know, just talking to chefs or I help out a few days a week on a friend's street food store in Cardiff Market, which is still very much a functioning Victorian market built in 1891, I think, but built on the site of, well, it was a prison, but there was always buying and selling on that site. It used to be a farmer's market.
Excellent.
So it's this big building with a kind of a glass ceiling. It does get quite warm when it's warm, and then you're in a kitchen, but it has gradually become almost a destination for independent street food traders.
Fantastic.
And one thing Cardiff does have that you don't have here, and you're better off for it, is that the town centre isn't swamped with chains here.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a McDonald's and there's this and that, but you're not, you know, you don't have the big brands of the
Pizza Express, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yes, exactly. Yes. But even the Pizza Express, right? You've got Pizza Express, you've got Marks and Spencer right between them. You've got Canna's Kitchen.
Exactly.
And how good is that?
I know. How and they've got the prime spot, actually.
It's
the Canna's Kitchen. It's on that lucky corner.
Yeah, and they've got another site coming. How do you not love a town like that? How do you not love a town that's got an independent business like that, which is busier when I've been and walked past, which is busier than the Pizza Express next door?
Exactly.
I mean, mean, how do you not love that?
Because it's hazy.
Exactly. So
your love affair with this town?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I met Becky and I was again, I've told her this, it's not news, but I was 90% in love with her before I met her, which sounds really weird, but we'd spent literally hundreds of hours talking. We'd told each other our life story, our fears, our regrets, our hopes, all the rest of it, and we knew each other so well that I met her and it was just like coming home. It was just like, there you go, all right, lovely, that's it then, sorted. And it's brilliant. So
you spend a lot of time here now.
Yeah, I do. What I tend to, what I'm very lucky with it, because when I kind of, you know, with work, when I do help out in the market, then we've got kind of quite an elastic arrangement, so I can say, okay, I'm not going to be around next weekend. I'm going to take a long, because you know, it's quite a long trip to get here. It's about 5 hours or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, it's an easy trip, but it's a long trip. I tend to come for like a long weekend, and then tend to kind of visit a few restaurants while we're here. And all
that's
the rest
terrible
of
for you.
I know, it is tough. And because she actually loves cooking and she wants to cook for me, and it took her a while before she realised I wasn't going. No, I don't want to eat your food. I want to go out. You know, she thought it was because she's a great cook. She really is a really good cook. She made me eat tofu yesterday, and it wasn't even a cry for help. it was really good. It was actually a tofu burger with a lovely Spanish Macabeo white wine. At it in the garden, overlooking, looking out over town and way beyond.
She makes bean burgers as well, doesn't
she? Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's quite the cook, actually. Yeah. She really is. Yeah.
Well, she'd have to be.
She's quite the cook.
Because this is the thing, isn't it? I'd be terrified because I'm not that great in the kitchen, apart from a roast.
No,
but he's the cook.
It's a common misconception. People think, oh, God, you know, if I cook for you, you're going to be really critical. I won't. I'll just be so grateful that you put some food in front of me, that, you know, I don't sit there and say, ooh, no.
Oh, I love that.
It's not like that at all. I love it. And you know, she's the food that she cooks is always so imaginative and it's nurturing and she's just great.
It's made with love, I'm sure.
It is, absolutely, yeah. But you know,
that's her language.
Yeah, I hope you're lapping all this up, love, because you know, this gets me out of any number of sessions that I should be spending in the doghouse. Okay, so there we go. So yeah, we started nosing around and I started, you know, doing the social media trawl and trying to find out where people were talking about and then I found that there wasn't actually that much conversation about places around here.
Absolutely.
Which I thought was really bizarre. And I looked for kind of blog reviews and I looked for XY, and I thought, there's not, that's really strange. And then the more I actually visited the restaurants, I thought, okay, now it's really weird because these restaurants are so good. And I don't know exactly why that is. I think there's obviously, I mean, I'm not going to get involved in the whole Down From London controversy thing, because I know there's a whole, there were various acronyms, some more complimentary than others.
No, we're good about the DFL. We really promote the DFL because all the DFLs that we know are darlings. And I'm a DFL, you're a DFL.
Yeah.
You know, we all are. And to be perfectly honest, we all pull together in the same direction, actually. Yeah. Let's make something.
There have always been DFLs.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so it's that, and yeah, even, you know, failed in London, try Hastings. That's just borrowed from try Hong Kong. So
it's all funny
riffs.
Oh, and I didn't you do get that's it. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
You get it in any town. You do, of course. Yeah. And I think it's about how we integrate or not, how we work with everybody or not, and. And if you know and you're friendly and you work with folk, you know, I've got loads of best friends who grew up here and then came back, and so it's cool. Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
There's definitely in the restaurants, there's definitely a London presence. So someone like Kim from Tonka was in London, or Casper from Wavy and now Albo was in London.
Yeah.
You know, Will from Coquina, which is review of that is in the works. I write at an almost glacially slow pace, I'm afraid. but we've been there, and it was all right, you know, kind of short term.
How do you write quickly
really
about
nice.
Food anyway?
Well, exactly. You need to take your time, don't you?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. Just kind of weigh things, but it's very different for me writing about these places because I'm kind of finding my way. And on my home patch, I've got no problem saying, yeah, that's great. That is absolutely not great. That's just the latest fur coat and no knickers place. You know, their marketing strategy is to invite in a load of people who will go, oh my god, it's amazing, everything was cooked to perfection, and you know they're going to say the same thing about the place they were invited to last week, and they'll say the same thing about the place they're invited to next.
They're not discerning of palate.
Well, I think they're more worried about saying something that might actually step on someone's toes and that might stop them getting invited to a future thing, but who knows?
Yeah.
Only they can tell when they look in the mirror.
You have to be brave as a critic. You have to be brave enough to be critical, don't you?
One thing I've learned over the years, kind of, because I've got to know a lot of chefs at all levels, from, you know, kind of backstreet, you know, Lebanese grill house up to, you know, spending time in the kitchen with Michelin star chefs, you know, is that actually they don't want people to go, oh my God, everything you do is amazing, you're fantastic.
Yeah.
They actually want someone to go, do you know what, that was good, but it didn't quite work for me, and, you know, maybe
this.
You know, you're not there to give tasting notes, you're not there to say, well, actually, you want a little bit of this, a little bit. But they do want honest feedback, because they're looking to improve all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
And one of the kind of the most renowned chefs in South Wales said to me, I'm sick of people telling me I'm good. I know I'm good. I need people like you to tell me where to be better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's fun. So in but I've got 12 years of doing that in Cardiff, and I've covered the kind of places that most other people don't write about, from you know, kind of little Somali places, to, you know, which aren't part of the whole Cardiff food scene discourse. You know, there's no marketing budget, there's no PR agency sending out a press release going, oh, well, so and so just in this. They are restaurants that have grown out, they've grown out of their communities, they're for their communities, but they're also very welcoming to people who don't come from those communities. And you know, there are areas of Cardiff because of the history of Cardiff is a very, very, very busy port city.
Yeah.
You've got very long established Somali and Yemeni communities, for example. I mean, the Yemeni community is the longest settled, or supposedly, the longest settled Muslim community in the UK. You know, they've been here since the 1850s, /60s, you know, around there.
Yeah, sure.
And they bring their food with them. And to me, there's so much joy in that kind of food. You know, I found myself a couple of years ago just sitting on the floor cross-legged. There's a plastic sheet put down on the floor in front of me, and then a tray put down, and then the dish put down on top of that. I'm just sat there eating away. I'm the only person in the room not speaking Arabic, you know, but there are moments of connection with people over
totally
food like
that.
You know?
I totally get it.
And also, their food's amazing. I mean, one of my favourite things in the world is a lamb mandi, where the lamb traditionally is cooked over the rice. So it's rubbed with this spice mix called hawaj, and then it kind of basically just cooks over the rice, and then all served together, and it's absolutely phenomenal.
So that rice is steeped.
Oh, you can imagine, Khaled. I mean, it's just absolutely. Now, apparently, Khaled do it as a special sometimes.
Do they?
They do. So, but I'm going to keep my eye out on that. I'm going to come for a mandi.
I'm making that lamb mandi. I'm in there.
It's quite similar to a biryani. So a biryani cooked in the African way,
proper biryani,
is slightly different to the Indian way.
Okay.
Yeah. So because my family grew up in Kenya.
Okay.
The cooking slightly differs. The traditional Gujarati cooking. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's
nice.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I go to Indian restaurants.
Okay.
And their biryanis are not a touch on my mum's.
No.
Your mum makes the best biryani though.
Yeah.
I eat it from the bottom.
Was this a major factor in you accepting his proposal?
Yes.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm thinking of marrying him.
Yeah.
Right, you know, if he's ever available, yeah. Right? And I'm, you know, but you know, sorry,
he's
Becky.
No. He's very inventive when it comes to cooking. He'll take. He's a bit like that. Can't cook. Is it?
Where oh, right. Yeah.
They couldn't. They couldn't do it. And he would just pick three things out of the fridge and go.
I can't do that.
I'm
a recipe follower.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, I envy people
like
that.
Oh, I love you, Jonathan.
Yeah,
I thought it was really backwards.
No. I'm absolutely. I will look at a recipe, and if there's one thing missing that I'm supposed to have and I haven't got it, I'm like, okay, I can't
do it. Yeah.
You know, whereas your proper cook will improvise and go, yeah, a bit of that, that'll
work.
Yeah,
I can't see that, but I can eat it.
I can eat it. Yeah, so, talking of which, tell me about Dripping Pig.
Dripping Pig. Yeah. So you'll love that. So you must go, because if you're a meat eater.
So this is a pop-up barbecue thing,
and they have... So they've not been going very long. It's Anthony and Jessica, and I don't even know what their backstory is. I really wanted to find out more about that, but they're quite new at this. So when they were there on Friday, the smell was legendary. He takes between 18 and 32 hours to get everything ready, smoked, cooked.
Brisket. Ribs.
The brisket falls off. It just melts in your mouth. I've had brisket, which is
for
time, and you're chewing forever.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
Waste of time.
I don't want that. It's too much energy.
Yeah.
So they have brisket. They have pulled pork, which is just outrageously good and juicy. And they don't cover everything in sauce, so the meat stands alone in its own juices. Then they'll put a little bit of sauce right on the top.
Nice.
But instead of everything being coated. But it's delicious. Smoked turkey they do, don't they? They do these things called moink balls where you've got...
Right, yes.
Have you seen them?
No, I've heard of them.
Oh, right, great, because they were new to us.
Yeah.
And it's meat with cheese, five cheeses smoked inside. And when you bite into it, it's like...
Idea,
and that is covered in a very delicious sauce.
Yeah.
But it makes me very, very happy. Food, I'm a Taurian. Food makes me very, very happy. I get very excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was delicious.
Good.
And they were on a bed of nachos because they said, do we need chips? I went, no, because the nachos will give you that aspect.
Yeah.
And there's so much meat and you know, it's stacked in a burger about yay high. I'm not exaggerating. It's that big.
Nice.
Then you get a side order of sweet corn. Oh, it's just so juicy and fresh. And they have these beans, three beans, smoked again.
Yeah, proper pit beans.
Proper, okay. Oh my God. Yes, pit beans, yes, exactly.
Nice.
So it was so, so good. But he is a pit master.
Nice.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
He's so good at what he does. They've only been running since March.
Okay.
So it's another big up for Anthony and Jessica. Dripping Pig, do it, because they're going to be around in different parts. So keep an eye on their black and green logo.
Right.
We will put one up.
Yeah.
But go, you will enjoy it. It's
I shall. My problem, I've got a massive list already in places that I want to go. My problem is that I have genuinely fallen. I'm smitten with certain places in town.
Yeah.
So I might come for 5 days. I can't eat at every single meal.
No, you can't.
I'd like to, but you know, wiser heads prevail. And there are so many places I want to get to, or I've been to once and I want to check out again before I kind of arrive at a verdict in my own mind. But there are some places that I just need to keep going back to. For example, you get off the train. All right, I've been on the train for about 5 hours by this point, and you know, welcome to Hastings on the side of the Sea Dog, and then Rob Hill's Orchard Road menu.
We get to sample that bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Asian food in a pub has got no right to be that good. And again, it's cooking from the heart, because he was, I think Rob's mum was brought up in Singapore.
Yes.
And when she died a few years ago, I think he felt a real urge to reconnect with that and to investigate the places that he had heard about.
Yeah.
So he went out there and he learned the recipes, and his food, honestly, it's just the cereal prawns. Try the cereal prawns; they're an absolute classic, local classic dish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cereal prawns.
Yeah.
His bao. I think they do this one day a week. They do a deal on the bao,
right.
But again, and there are veggie and vegan options as well. His rendang is. Absolutely. I mean, this is proper cooking.
Mm.
It comes out of the kitchen in a proper pub as well, because the Sea Dog is a proper pub.
Yeah.
Really good beer pub. Selection.
Yeah.
Absolutely magic. I can't sit here today without mentioning Tonka.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Kim.
Absolutely in love with Tonka.
Yeah.
Her story is absolutely incredible. How she and her best friend Ryan. Lost family members to cancer, and in the process saw the effect that cancer treatment had on their loved one's ability to experience food and to enjoy food, and so they started investigating how to flavour food to compensate for people who are suffering, and they took a really science.
That's why she's such a magician.
Absolutely.
So science based.
Yeah, they took a science based approach. They worked with a professor Barry. So I'd have to check my notes, but it's literally they know which foods might stimulate a particular nerve.
Yes.
And then give you a particular sensation, and it's.
That's magic.
It is absolutely magical. Yeah. She's done. I've gone into more detail on my review of Tonka, which I did about a year ago, I think.
Mm.
But of course, the work then had a new lease of life with the advent of long COVID.
Mm.
So people whose ability to enjoy food was impaired suddenly. They're kind of coming up with ways to make eating a pleasure again.
Mm.
I think they've got a range of condiments with Holland and Butler.
Really?
Called Life Kitchen, because that was the name of the... But the original Life Kitchen, it just exploded apparently because some very, very high profile people just got hold of the idea. I think Nigella Lawson reviewed it, and I think they had the launch party at River Cottage, Hugh Finley Whittingstall got involved, and you know the great and the good, you know, but it was a real, you know, something that you know you read about that and you think, do you know what? If I go to that place and the food isn't as good as I want to be, I'm going to hate it.
Because
I really want it to be amazing because she's obviously a really special person.
Yeah.
But her food is magical.
It is magical.
I do find it absolutely magical.
How do we find her? We found her from the... something on the beach. What's it called? The beach hut.
Just down the road.
What's
from,
it called? Just down up the down the road from... Goatledge. So you've got Goatledge, Oscar's... I can't remember what they're called.
But on the beach.
Julian, was it? Selling, sorry if I got the name wrong, I do apologise. Selling her wonderful sausage rolls.
Yes.
And we came across, and you had something with, you had a cheese thing, which I can always be a bit suspect with cheese, me. But I had the sausage roll and I said, what is happening in my mouth? And he decided to tell us about her science-based approach, and I said, well, my mouth has just gone a little bit crazy, because there was this feeling of these are all new playing with each other kind of tastes.
And then of course she's now married to San, who's Mauritian, so she's bringing that kind of influence into it. We ended up being invited to a wedding reception. It was in Tonka. It was lovely. It was catered by Three Souls in a Bowl.
We know, right?
Yeah, I thought you would. I'm in awe. In less enlightened times, Kim would probably be dragged off to a ducking stool, because she's what she does is absolutely magic, and there's such a kind of, she's such a humble person, and I, honestly, anything good that happens to Tonka is fine by me, and I would love them to be absolutely massive. I mean, since they've opened, they've extended, they've opened the upstairs part of the building, But they're wonderful. Mm. I mean, you know, a wavy bar. I mean, that some yeah. really special food there. Yeah. And they've moved to St. Leonard's now. Yeah. But I mean, I'm guessing we're talking about Hastings and St. Leonard's.
It doesn't matter.
So it's not like, so I used to live in Lancashire, and it, so it's not like a White Rose and Red Rolls that.
No.
It's not like Montagues and Capulets.
No,
like
back in the day we were just one town, but yeah. we seem to be delineated, if you like, okay. by the pier. But it doesn't yeah. matter because we don't care. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets a fair crack.
Yeah, if you're up for a walk, you end up yeah. in one anywhere. I mean, yeah. you know, yeah. yeah. I mean, the food in St. Leonard's is again very special. You know, I mean, kind of Boatyard's lovely Heist Market. I haven't been to Albo, the new wavy bar, but you know, if it just carries on the script, I'm sure it'll be amazing. You know, there's a lot of really good stuff. You know, where Bait we really enjoyed as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much good stuff happening. You know, Lidl, George Street. I mean, that's just. Mm. It is just a little nook. So yeah. George Street can be quite full on.
Yeah.
On a Saturday, you know, particularly like bank holiday weekend. Sure. You know, you've got kind of Venezuelan street dancers.
Yeah.
And you've got a guy walking past dressed as a pirate. It's not even pirate weekend.
Because right? it's allowed.
People think I'm joking when I say that. But no, there literally is a pirate weekend. as you know.
Yeah.
But. You know, it's quite full on George Street. Very, it can be quite. You know, there's a lot going on, and then Lidl is this beautiful little oasis, and they bring you lovely bowls of pasta that they've made in this tiny, tiny kitchen, and you think, I like this. Yeah. And then you know, you've got Winifred's and kind of that real commitment to English seasonal eating. Cause it was his food I ate first.
Yeah.
Because when you know, the first evening I was here, Becky took me down to the Stag, and we had. Dinner there, and I thought, well, this is a bit of all right, isn't it? And then he started this, and I thought, that's
well, pre that,
special as well.
We knew Ben from the Hastings Deli, wasn't it? The Queen's Road Deli. And so he pitched up there working for Jez, who was now the pig, what's he call himself? The pig, and he's got pig something, not pig master, but he's something. To do with piglies, and Ben worked for him, and he was conjuring up all sorts of magic because Jez would supply the salt beef, wasn't it? Because he had salt beef sandwiches, and Ben would do all the extra bits on top, and Ben knows how to pickle.
He understands
the pickling. Yeah. And to me, a Wally from London, I'm a Londoner, so anyone who makes a good Wally, you know, woof. I'm all over that. And he he's really, really clever with flavour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like Ben. Thank you, Mr.
There seems to be a lot of new openings at the moment, you know. Shiosai.
We've not tried that yet.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's, you know, it's Andrew Wong, who kind of co-owns Beacon Tail Butchers.
Yeah.
And what's lovely, again, is that you get all the restaurants on here saying, oh, yeah, we use Beacon Tail on their menu as a badge of honour.
Oh, absolutely.
As you know how good it is. I mean, how good is that butcher shop? I mean, that's an example to the whole industry of what a butcher shop can and should be, I think. Mm. I mean, you know, absolutely superb. There's so many places springing up, like Coquina above Hastings Contemporary.
Yeah.
Really lovely place to eat.
Yes.
You know, really laid back. You know, the chef is from London, the chef is from Morro, so he's got that kind of Spanish and North African knowledge. Yes. The place we found the other day, which has been open for years apparently, Sumisu Ramen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my sweet lord.
Yeah.
I mean,
doesn't like ramen?
And who doesn't? That ramen is special.
Right.
You know? The fact that they make their own gyoza, which is so rare these days, almost everybody buys them in.
Because
it's cheap and it's a you know, big markup and it's great and it's quick and blah, blah, blah. You know, hand making their own gyoza, only doing. I found one of their menus online the other day because I was talking to the owner, James, and he said, oh, you know, we kind of model ourselves on. actual ramen shops in Japan. Mm. We're not trying to be anything else. Mm. He said, but we like to keep the menu the same. And I just started kind of having a look around online, and I found a menu from 3 years ago, and it's exactly the same menu. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah, you're not kidding, mate. Mm. But the absolutely consistency and absolute, I hate using the word perfection when it comes to food, but damn it, that was close.
Mm. There's something in Japanese cooking where if you do something well, you do it to perfection. Mm. And if it's consistent,
absolutely,
then you've hit the level.
Yeah, there's honour in that. There's craftsmanship in that. Yeah. So I love finding out that the word Sumizu means Smith, which is just a translation of their surname, right?
Yeah.
However, I love then thinking, well, a smith is someone who crafts things and has skill. And I think it all ties in rather beautifully with that. No, I mean, it was, again, they only do, I suppose they do four bowls if you're really stretching, because they do two main bowls and a vegan option.
Mm.
And one of the bowls you can have spicy or non-spicy, right? So four bowls, but really.
Spicy every time.
Yeah, and I just eating this, and it was one of those meals where you say to the person you're eating with, do me a favour, have a bit of that, and tell me if it's as good as I think it is. Because right now I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And bring your own as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Bring a £2 to bring a beer, £5 for a bottle of wine.
That's nice.
So you could have a bowl and gyoza and take a bottle of wine and you'd be spending £25 maximum.
Yeah.
And you think, why isn't everybody talking about this place?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is crazy. I've got so much love for this town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, these little places keep popping up.
Mm.
You know, Khaled's. I love Khaled's. I love the fact that, you know, that came out of, it's yet another lockdown story.
It is.
You know. I love the people there. Their food just makes you happy.
Yeah.
The way I judge things sometimes is, right, I've just got off a train after 5 hours. What do I want to eat?
Mm.
And the first time I went to Khaled's, I just sat down, I ordered what I ordered, and I thought, that's it. There's nothing better.
No, the flavours in Khaled's Kitchen, they are.
Yeah, it's just, I'm absolutely falling in love with the food in this town. It's also supportive as well.
Mm.
That's another thing that really strikes me after writing about much bigger cities and scenes, is that it's all so supportive that people will actively comment on each other's new menu, or they'll share it on social media, or or they'll talk about it, say, oh, that's great, chef. You know, there's a really supportive, lovely. When I said to Kokina, you know, well, lots of places opening at the moment, and they said, well, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. And their mission on their website is, you know, we want to help put Hastings on the map. Now, I'm absolutely convinced, and it's already started to happen. I predicted this last year, but I'm convinced that, you know, this time next year you'll get sick of reading about how to spend a weekend in Hastings, where to go in St. Lens. And it's already started to happen now in the Sunday supplements.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, this whole Dalston on Sea thing can get right in the bin.
Yeah.
I don't even live here full time.
No.
And it can get in the bin.
It's annoying, isn't it?
It always has to be something.
We are us.
Yeah.
It
is. There's nothing quite like it. I mean, you know, the whole Jack in the Green thing. You know, Pirate Weekend. Mm. I mean, I think I'm going to need to get involved in Pirate Weekend.
I think you should. Becky, he does lend himself.
Bring in a pirate.
Oh, don't encourage him.
No. You just need to find yourself a long jacket and some boots, maybe.
Yeah okay. She'll have to do it as well, mate. You know,
she'll have to.
Pirate wench.
Yes.
I've got in mind for her.
She could.
It's a look we discussed.
There you go.
I'm in trouble now.
You've got till when is it? July?
Mm. Is it?
Right. Yeah.
I have to see if I can manage the weekend a weekend off for that.
There we go.
But it's this town is fascinating. The places here have got character and they've got personality. in a way that I've rarely found anywhere else. You know, people do their own thing here.
Mm.
And you I find places in Hastings that I don't think would actually work in other cities I know.
Mm.
I think they're just too quirky to individual. But Hastings and St. Leonard's have got that that background of, you know, creative people come here. Yeah. You know, there's art and there's music. Mm. And there's a cultural life here which punches way above its size, because it's, you know, they are small towns. Mm. Let's say originally they were one town, but it's a small area compared to what I'm used to.
Yeah,
and yet it's massively distinctive.
It's steeped in it, isn't
absolutely
it?
It's massively distinctive. It's got it does have personality. It's got character. It's got an identity of its own, and that comes through in the food.
Mm.
You know, the food is,
people are brave,
different. Yes.
And that's what I love about it. There is a massive amount of courage that goes into every venture here.
Yeah.
Which you can't...
That's an excellent point. Yeah. I love that, yeah.
You can't... I look at other places and I think, I can see why you'd like here. And then we go away, don't we? And it's like, this is nice. But I don't feel that courage that I feel here.
Yeah.
And anyone who wants to give something a go, they just say, oh, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And it pops up, and the next thing you know, everyone's all over it, you know.
Yeah,
there's that generosity as well, that you will support one another.
And people crow about it. I haven't done any crowing about food for a while, because I haven't had the time. But generally speaking, everybody gets up and starts talking about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're very happy to do that. Yeah. Very rarely do I see anybody run anybody down either.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is it's always going to be a whinger, but it is brave,
fascinating town.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's been obviously I kind of built my following writing largely about Cardiff, you know, a bit of Bristol, because I used to live in Bristol. I've got a lot of fondness for that place, you know, a bit of London or wherever I go, but largely South Wales, mainly Cardiff. Mm. And, you know, a few people have said, oh, you know, you're writing a lot about Hastings these days, aren't you going to write about that place that's just opened in Cardiff? And I go, doesn't really grab me. Because, you know, when it is here, it's riskier. People take more of a risk.
Yeah,
it's.
So that's all right. That can be a nod to Cardiff, because if that's happening, then use some of what we're doing here in Cardiff, because that's the magic ingredient, I think. The risk.
Yeah.
Brave.
Yeah, courage. I've often said to a few of the chefs I talk to, you know, and some of them have got links to the area.
Mm.
You know, just go to Hastings, spend a weekend. Hastings, St. Leonard's, let me give you a list of five or six places to eat your way around and come back and tell me what you think. Funny enough, there's a couple here today. I think they arrived yesterday or the day before from Bristol.
Did you meet them on the train?
No, I've never met them. They followed me on social media for years.
Okay.
And they came to Hastings and he messaged me and he said, okay, so where do I eat then?
Nice.
So they are in that bottle shop, and the Jolly Fisherman.
Oh, yes.
Jolly Fisherman on the seafront down by Rock and Roll.
The tiny pub.
Yes, they were there last night.
With the toad table.
They're booked in for dinner at Tonka tomorrow night.
Oh,
and they're booked in at Winifred's with Ben on Saturday night.
Fantastic.
Wonderful.
So, you know, it's lovely. And there's a few other people have said, you know, I'm thinking of going to Hastings. I'm not writing to bring people into the area. I'm writing for, well, ultimately I write for myself because I enjoy it, but I'm writing for, here's the thing, right? In Cardiff, I've got absolutely no compunction in saying, well, do you know what? I know this stuff as well as anyone else I know and better than most.
Mm.
So I think this, and that's my considered opinion based on years, all right? Here, I'm finding my way. So I'm open to recommendations. Of course I'm open to recommendations.
Yes.
I want to hear about the stuff that people, that really motivates
people. The biryani
people.
In Casa.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's on my list, the Afghan biryani. Absolutely.
Afghan
lamb biryani is three of the best words in the world. You know, dripping pig, the things that you've mentioned. I mean, I love all this. I soak it all up and it goes on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, I'm in no way am I saying I am the definitive voice on restaurants in Hastings. Not yet, anyway. You know, I love the fact that I'm exploring, I'm finding stuff out, you know, so I'm always
looking. That is exciting, isn't it? It's discovery.
Yeah,
absolutely. We always call it a food adventure. Mm. So when we're going to a new place, we go off on a food adventure and we go and find out.
Yeah.
It's my favourite thing in the world.
Yeah, it's an exciting place. You know, it's just, there's something different here, and I don't quite know what it is. I know there's that London creativity that's come in, you know, sure. like you mentioned, people like Kim and people like that coming in from London, bringing that big city experience. But there's something different about this area that seems to breed kind of a spirit of adventure and individuality that maybe other places don't quite have yet.
There's an up energy here, I feel, and it is contagious. So if someone goes off and says, oh, who's the guy who used to do the street food, the Scottish guy? Angus. Do you remember he used to do the chat? You're looking at me blankly.
Oh, he was on Rick Stein's. He featured on Rick Stein's.
Stop that. Well, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
he brings Bombay street food.
Oh.
Yeah.
To Hastings.
In a trolley.
He's just got a trolley. He's
mm-hmm. It looks like an old lady trolley. Yeah.
With chat.
Yeah. Yes. And he makes all these chats. And it's just him, isn't it? I'm sure his name's Angus. He just pitches up normally on the top of Source Park. We normally see him, don't we?
And it's so obvious because it's all decorated in that Bombay Street style.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't realise he'd been on Rick Stein. Yeah. But everyone just pitches up and does a thing and says, I'm just throwing it in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody feels that, oh, there's another one. Oh, no.
No, there's not. It can all, you know, in bigger cities, there's a lot of competition, and I think it can be quite tempting for people to play a bit safe. And well, I know burgers always sell, I know tacos always sell, I know pizza always sell, so let's just do burgers and tacos and pizzas. I mean, we do have, we've got a very rich, very varied restaurant life in Cardiff, and there are some places there that are very, very special to me indeed. But what Hastings doesn't have, I think, and this is one big difference, is that in Cardiff, if someone said to me, right, a big celebration meal, where do I go? Then I'm thinking about three or four places. It's always the same three or four places because I know the food's great, the service is great, but I know what you're going to be spending. You're going to be spending three figures plus. And I will send you to those places, and I know that you'll be well looked after, and everything's going to go well, and that's great. But it's like a pyramid effect. So you've got you know the posh gaff at the top, and then you've got your next tier and your next tier down to you know. Here, there's no obvious
pyramid.
Well, where do I go for a big? Where do I go for a posh night out?
Uh-huh.
I still couldn't answer that question after writing about the area for over a year now. I still couldn't answer that. I know where you could go for a nice meal, but in terms of the obvious special occasion restaurant, there's not so much of that. I don't think. What Hastings has got, stroke St. Leonard's. What Hastings has got. It's these little places that just surprise you with their creativity, and I've fallen in love with that.
Yeah, it's more fine-grained than, that massive.
Absolutely. Yeah. It really is. I mean, you know, the size of Winifred's is ridiculous. I mean, if I wanted to swing a cat, I probably don't.
No.
Not this week. Not after the injunction.
No.
But if I want edit that bit out.
Yeah,
cat
people. This is going to hurt.
if I want it, you know, that's a tiny room. I mean, that's got, you know, if it's raining outside and the doors are closed, there's what, two tables, two and a half tables? I mean, that is a tiny space.
Sure.
Tonka, before they expanded, that's just a little cafe. That's a small space.
Yeah.
There's only a few tables in the Sea Dog. For, you know, it. these are all small places, but
so we've got no big venue.
They just
we need a big venue,
but no obvious kind of that's where you go for the big night out. That's your big ticket place, which cities tend to have quite obviously.
Yeah,
you know, Bristol's
sure,
got them.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Bristol's got you name the city, and it would be easy enough to list the.
But we're
the
a town, aren't we? And I think that possibly
I think so
is where we are different, because we're not a city. We've got a city feel. People often say they've got it's got a bit of a city feel.
Mm.
Apropos food,
yeah.
But yeah, okay. That's an interesting. I wonder if somebody will now listen to this and say,
"Is this what
we?"
I am now going to send. I mean, Lurie. Okay, I mean, Lurie is staggeringly good.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, again, London influence.
Exactly.
Right.
Tasting menu.
Very.
How many courses? 10 to 12?
10 to 12. It varies. Apparently, but £65 a head, I think. Again, when it was mentioned on Facebook, a lot of people were like, "Oh, another place I can't afford to go and eat." Well, that's fine, mate. But you know,
no,
some absolutely. People like it. I mean, I used to share a season ticket for Anfield for Liverpool years ago with a mate of mine. So I would have it some weekends, he'd have it other weekends. Mm. And when I think what I used to spend on driving up to Liverpool and back and having a massive Chinese after the game.
Of course.
And you know, everything else. I mean, I was spending well over three figures, a couple of Saturdays a week.
Sure.
And I was away on Saturday, which didn't really help with my with my relationship at the time, but there we go. And you know, no one thinks twice about that.
No.
You know, but people seem to have this trigger about spending money on their dinner, and it's not often an issue around here because there isn't, again, there aren't that many places which are the obvious. I mean, Lurie is a special occasion thing, but because it's so small, you'd have to plan it well in advance and all the rest of it.
But it's worth doing.
It's absolutely magical in there. Honestly, when he said British stroke European and Sri Lankan burger.
Oh.
So the burgers were often Dutch. Or French, I think, and settled, but maintain their own identity within the Sri Lankan population, and they certainly defined their own cooking. You know, it was a way for them to, to maintain what made them different. So he takes his very, very classical fine dining training.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked in, you know, Le Manoir with Raymond Blanc and Galvin at Windows and places like that. And then he was a private chef in London for about 8 years, I think. And then he kind of tweaks, or not really tweaks. He's not taking familiar Sri Lankan dishes and making them into something else. He's using perhaps some of the base flavours or the inspiration or a memory from childhood, and he's turning it into something else, something very, very refined. And it's my meal of the year, and I've eaten at some kind of quite highly decorated places this year, but that's my... I left that place absolutely slightly dazed, blinking into the sunlight and thinking, that was very special.
Yeah.
The bonus is that you've got Bat and Bee, the little bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do, it's not always on the menu, but they'll make it for you if you ask them nicely. They do a black cherry Negroni.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of my thing.
Yeah.
So you're only a few yards away from there, so you can have a black cherry Negroni and talk about how brilliant your dinner at Lurie was. But he's doing, I think next month, it's fish only.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be very interesting. Because there was quite a lot of pushback on when it was mentioned on Facebook, I think, about, oh, you know, I can't eat that because I'm a vegetarian, or I can't eat that because I've got celiac disease, or blah, you know, all these things. And that's fine. And, you know, one sympathises with people who struggle to eat out well. But also with when you're only doing 10 covers and you've got a small kitchen.
Yes.
I think you need to kind of streamline what you do as much as possible. And, you know, the offer's there. It's not a public service. No. They don't have to include everyone. The offer's there. if that offer doesn't suit you, then there will be places that cater for you very, very well. I mean, Kim's always got loads of gluten-free stuff at Tonka, loads of veggie, loads of vegan. You know, you could go there and eat like a king. So
I must ask you a technical question now. So when I go anywhere, I've got a little notebook, and I sit with my notebook, and I will make notes. What's your process?
Yes, thank you.
Do you record it voice-wise? No. Honestly, I find it much easier to write about a meal if I've eaten it on my own.
Oh, yes.
So I will, absolutely, because if, you know, if you go with your, you know, husband, wife, girlfriend, wife, they've got this weird thing about you talking to them during the meal. And it's like, you know.
You don't know about it dancing across your tongue.
Are you still here? So I often find it a lot easier to eat on my own, because then it's just me and the plate. Obviously, that's not always very sociable or inclusive. I will literally just, I'll often take an actual notebook. I've got a black book that I'll take with me sometimes, and literally just jot notes, but they're just little phrases. I don't write paragraphs. Yeah, it's just like, you know, because what I'm more interested in, what I'd like to do when it works on the rare occasion and it comes off, is not to say I went to a place and I ate this and it was nice, and I ate that and it was nice, and I ate that was nice too, here's a photo, the end. I think it's more about how you feel and how it makes you feel, because I think the relationship with a meal and with the best restaurants is an emotional construct.
Yeah, totally.
I think it's the restaurants with which you connect emotion on an emotional level that the ones that keep you coming back. So there's a place in Cardiff called Asador 44, and it's a northern Spanish grill house. Everything is cooked, basically everything is, the main things are all cooked over flames on this massive custom parrilla, you know, it's kind of wood and coals and vines, old vines, for some extra flavour. And it's my happy place. I send everyone there. I've taken everyone there. You know, everyone from friends to national critics to girlfriends, you know, wives, it's complicated, everyone, you know. I go there because it's got the knack of making you feel very happy. It's also kind of got that link for me to memories of northern Spain, and, you know, kind of going to a family bodega in you know, escaping the heat of the Castilian sun into the kind of the cool gloom of and you know, a giant dish of roast suckling pig being put down in front of you. It's a very simple accompaniment, you know, tomatoes or some asparagus or whatever. But it's my happy place. I make a connection to that place. Yeah. So like when Becky. And funny enough, Becky loved it as well. First time she came to Cardiff, I took her there, and she just got it straight away. So when it was her birthday last, and it was one of those ones, those big birthdays that you ladies don't like to talk about so much, I arranged for them to do her a one-off tasting menu that was like fish and seafood only, basically. Because it was all about memories. She said, don't buy me stuff. I've got stuff. Don't buy me stuff for my birthday.
Much more important.
Give me an experience. Give me something that I'm always going to remember. So I got them to do that for her. And they did a fantastic job. I mean, they do these croquetas, which are kind of crab and prawn. But then they do them in a kind of a squid ink crumb, so they're kind of jet black, And then we had kind of the little Cantabrian anchovies, because the Cantabrian ones are the best. And then, you know, we had some of those scarlet prawns, the carabineros, which are, I still haven't told her how much I paid for those. But so we had a plate of those. And then it kept going until we had like a whole turbot just roasted over the flames. And and I know, and even now she'll go, oh, do you know, I still think about that meal. And it was last October, you know. That's what food does for us. But that's what the right kind of restaurant does for you, I think. That's what the right people, the right product does for you. And I think that's what I'm always interested in finding places where you kind of get a feeling for what they're trying to do.
Yes.
So Sumizu Ramen, for example, you're there and you think, yeah, the people who do this really care about what they're doing.
Yeah.
This isn't some kind of,
you know, in every mouthful.
This isn't like it's not a couple of chances trying to make a few quid on a Friday night. You know, they are dedicated to what they do, and you can see it. You can see what they do. The fact they make their own gyoza
it's another step though, another level. Isn't it?
I mean, it really is. I mean, you know, but the fact that they so obviously care about doing it and getting it right. I love that, and I always, that's the magic of kitchens for me. I always
think that there's, I mean, especially when I've cooked when I've been angry, and it's not tasted the same as when I've been calm. So even, you know, your temperament can go into your cooking.
Definitely.
So, you know, that can be reflected.
I mean, we've all got those memories. I mean, you talk to just about any chef and he'll tell you that he's got memories of cooking with either his grandmother or his mother.
Yeah.
And it goes way back. I mean, for me, it's like there are things which are a taste of home.
Mm.
You know what I mean? My mum's Spanish omelette, kind of a tortilla de patatas is just simple. It's just a few ingredients, but it's absolutely the taste of home. Yeah. Her croquetas are fantastic, you know. Philip, I gave the recipe to a chef I know, and he puts them on the menu, and he said, wow, our customers say these are the best they've ever had. He's made some, and he's going to bring me some that he's made.
Oh, wow.
And I'm really interested to see whether they taste the same or not. Because I've got a theory they'll be very good, because he's a very good chef.
Sure.
But, you know, it's that emotional thing. It's like I said, the smell of hot olive oil.
Yes.
I see my abuelita's scarlet housecoat with her back to me. She'd already, it's 11 a.m. she's already been out, she's gone here for the meat, here for the fish, here for the wine, here for the bread, you know, no such thing as a supermarket. She's kind of dusting off hake cutlets in seasoned flour, and they're going into the hot oil, and then they go onto that oval silver tray, and then she's doing, you know, the chicken the same, and a squeeze of lemon, and then they go there, and it's that kind of, you know, that food is love thing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's that connection with cooking for cooking what you love, and hoping it shows. But this town bristles with creativity. This town bristles with inventiveness.
Yeah.
You know, there more and more I find places I think, hey, that sounds really good, I'll try that. For such a small town, you could be forgiven for saying, right, it's on the English seaside, right? It's a small town. I'm not expecting that much variety.
Get some fish and chips, and that's it, kind of idea.
Which is what we used to be.
Some point, I am going to have to arrive at a definitive ranking of Hastings fish and chip places. But I also think that I probably need to buy a tin hat before I post that one. I'm sure people are going to come for me on that. You know what people are like with fish and chips? It's like they get absurdly territorial.
Yeah.
But it's... this town absolutely hums with all of the good things, and I it's a privilege for me to have found it, but it's also a privilege for me to, in my own little way, to maybe raise the profile of some of these places, because
absolutely.
You know, people have, like, you know, without naming names, restaurant owners have said, you know, that you publish that review, that in the next 3 weeks were our three weeks of record takings. We've never done so much business as you did there, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
People phoning Lurie and go, oh, I just read a review, can, like, after I put it online, I've just read a review, can I book it for next week? You know, which is why you do it, really.
Exactly.
But you know, this town is special. And really that's what it comes down to for me. I'm surprised that there isn't a whole coterie of people writing about it all the time. You know, it'd be nice to have other people to bounce ideas off, but you know, I get it. Sometimes you just find it, you know, at the moment I'm that guy. So
we're very grateful.
Well, thank you. It's fun. It's fun. It's really energizing as a writer to write about a new place and about new people and about new cooking.
And it's delicious.
This is a very special area, and I think it's going to get busier and busier. Yeah, I really do.
I think so too. Well, this is perfect. This has been so much. So, for someone who said, "Ooh, I don't know what I'm going to talk about," you've been an absolute delight.
Oh, thank you so much.
And this is not the only time we're going to have you on. I think if you can spare him, Becky, just briefly.
She's glad to get me out the house, honestly.
Bless you. So we're going to be putting up all the links to everybody that has been mentioned so far, and there'll be others, because no doubt Jonathan will say, I forgot.
Yeah.
And we'll just put them underneath. So you're all very, very special, all our eateries, and we really appreciate you. Mm. And we really appreciate you coming from Cardiff.
Oh, Thank you. Thanks for being a part of our town.
Our town has plenty. So we are going to cheers you.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you.